everybody really loud on the count of three. Good morning. One, two, three.
Good morning!
Good job. Here we go. He's got the whole world in his hands. You ready? Are you ready? Stand up. He's got the whole
to welcome everybody this morning. We appreciate the good crowd we have for Sunday school. It's always a blessing when we get up here and see a lot of faces out there and see all these children up here. And we're just thankful for the day the Lord's blessed us with. And just being in his house is just a blessing to be able to be here. And that first song they sung, he's got the whole world in his hand. It's, you know, we kind of look at that as a children's song, but it's a great reminder for us that sometimes I feel like I try to carry too much and don't give the things of the Lord that if I just give it to him, he'll take care of it for us. And, you know, I think we're probably all guilty of that, just trying to carry too much around and not leaning on the Lord enough. But, again, we're thankful to be here and looking forward to having a great day in the Lord. And I'm going to ask Brother Lil Thomas to dismiss Sunday school. Good morning. Yeah. Feel like Ryan there. A lot of times we do carry around too much stuff that we shouldn't carry around. And I thought when he said that, I thought about this lesson. These fellas in this lesson carried their friend, took him to where Jesus was at. And I thought, if I'm carrying around too much baggage from this world, how can I carry around what God wants me to carry? I've got to get my priorities right and do what God wants me to and not what this guy wants. Our lesson this morning is in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. This is, from what I understand from reading through here, this was kind of early on in Jesus' career as a miracle worker. It was when he kind of was first getting the attention of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they was wanting to know what he was about, what was going on with this man. Verse 17, I'll go ahead and read that. It says, "And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." He was in Capernaum, according to what the Bible says, and just as a reference, I wrote down here that Capernaum was about 80 miles from Jerusalem, and of course, they didn't have cars back then. They walked so some of these guys, some of these Pharisees and doctors, what they called doctors, according to what my research shows, with doctors was teachers of the law. They were people that studied the Old Testament and the Jewish law, and they taught it to others. And they were there, and some of these guys walked as far as 80 miles. Just to come and see what Jesus was about over here. I don't think at that point, from what I read, I don't think they had really made up their minds yet whether or not Jesus was a good guy or a bad guy. They were that's why they came. They wanted to see what he was all about. Verse 18 says, "And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him." I read, let's see if I can find it. Verse 15 says he had just healed a leper. And verse 15, before our lesson starts, says, "But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities." Well, these fellas that brought the bed, obviously they had heard of him. And I believe the man in the bed had heard of him. When I was studying this, I got to looking and I got to praying about it, and I believe that that man that was paralyzed and laying in his bed heard about Jesus, and he probably looked at his friends and said, "You got to take me there. You need to take me to that man." And even if he didn't, I believe he knew where they was taking him. And he wanted to go. Because verse 19 it says, "And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude,
They went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. In the past, this might sound funny, but pretty much all my life I've heard this story about these four guys going up on the roof and making a hole to lower him down. And I've always pictured a regular house like I live in, or like any of us live in, with a peak roof. And I always thought, man, I don't know how they got up on there. And when they did get up on there, how did they dig a hole in it without falling off? I got to looking at this lesson and got to studying some things. And in those days, in Jerusalem and all the area thereabout, the houses were built. Basically, they were a two-story house, and part of the house just had a roof over the top of it. And they used that roof as a patio kind of thing, where they'd go out there, and some of them used it to eat or go out there and pray, because they'd go out there and face toward the east and pray. Many different things they used that roof for. But when I was studying on it and researching it, the roof itself was basically the same as we would build a flat roof around here now. It was a beam down the center with rafters that went across. And then they covered that with thatch, grass or hay or whatever it might be that they had. And then they'd put, they had some kind of homemade mortar that they'd lay on top of that and smooth it all out. And that was their roof. And that's what made it able to be walked on. So when these guys got up on that, I'm getting ahead of myself. There was also, most of them had an outside staircase that went up to the roof onto that building. And that kind of stopped me in my tracks, because I always kind of pictured these four guys trying to go up ladders to get on top of a pointy roof. And I thought, man, the effort that these guys put into it. Well, then doing this research, it seemed like, it didn't seem like it was all that hard. They just had to carry their buddy up the stairs and get on the roof and then break a hole in it. I come to the conclusion that whether it was physically difficult for these four men, or however many, the Bible don't even say it was four men, it just said these men, however many there was, the physical difficulty of getting their friend to where Jesus was isn't the important part of the story. The important part of the story is they did what they had to do to get him there. They didn't let the inconveniences deter them. It probably would have been real easy for these guys to get up to the house and look and go, there ain't no way we're getting in there. Let's wait till tomorrow, see if the crowd thins out. I look at myself in that situation and I think, how many times have I come up against something that God's told me to do? And I look at it and I go, oh, that's impossible. There ain't no way that's going to happen today. It'll have to come some other time. But yet we'll stand up here and we'll tell the lost, you need to get saved today, because tomorrow might not ever come. So how, if God gives me something to do to help somebody that's lost, how can I say I'll have to do it some other time because I can't get it done today? Today might be my only chance to get it done. Might be my only chance to help somebody. So these guys, regardless of how difficult the job was, the fact that the important part of it is that they got the job done. Verse 19 says, and when they could not find by what way they may bring him in because of the multitude, They went upon the housetop and led him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. I got to thinking about the crowd that was in this house. How did they have room to drop this man down through the roof and put him before Jesus? And I believe that when they started tearing a hole in that roof, probably chunks of stuff started falling down in the room. And all the people that was huddled up around Jesus probably started backing up, trying not to get hit by this stuff that was falling down. The point is, Jesus knew that they were coming. And he cleared a way for them to lower that fella down to him. Nothing that those guys on the roof could have done. All they could do was get the roof open and get their friend to him. Jesus made a way for him to have a place to come down and lay. In verse 20 it says, "And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee." And I believe when it says he saw their faith, I believe he was talking about the man laying in that bed and his friends. Because if the man laying on the bed wouldn't have had the same faith his friends had, he wouldn't have been able to be saved. We can do all we can for our people, but if they don't move for themselves and have enough faith and have enough desire to have a relationship with God, then they won't get it. This man couldn't physically get up and go to where Jesus was. He had to have some help. As I was reading that, I thought about the eunuch that God sent, I believe it was Philip, down. And he went down there and he said, "Do you understand what you read?" And the eunuch said, "How can I unless some man show me?" He couldn't get where he needed to get to find God without somebody helping him. Somebody had to preach the gospel to him. Somebody had to let him know where God was at so that he could get to where God was at. Same thing with this fellow on the bed. He couldn't physically get where God was at, or Jesus. But with help from the church, he was able to get there. Verse 21 says, "And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" We have got those same people in the world that we have to deal with today. I believe I got wrote down here for down in the end of this lesson. It talks about glorifying God and that they were filled with fear. There's three things that this lesson tells you that these people, that these Pharisees and doctors of the law, said they were filled with fear, and they went away glorifying God, and they were amazed. They were the same ones that said, "That's blasphemy. How can you do that? You can't forgive sins. Only God can do that." We've got people in this, in our lives, that if they hear us talking about God or talking about what God has done for us or just about anything, if they don't understand it, they'll question it. How can you be so sure you're going to heaven? How can you be so sure you're saved? But if they come to church and they see the church move in the power of the Spirit, it'll amaze them. And it'll give them a little bit of fear that they don't understand. They still don't understand it unless God draws them to him and they accept his offer. But these guys, these Pharisees, they said, "What? Who can forgive sin but God alone?" It says, "But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk." It says, But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins, he said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. Can you imagine the amazement on them Pharisees when he said that and that guy just got up and picked up his bed and walked out? They was amazed that he had the gall to sit there and say, your sins be forgiven thee. But then he said, get up and walk. And the fella just got up, took his bed and headed home. I would be amazed at that. You know, God's got the ability to amaze all of us. But especially these guys that were questioning Jesus' authority. And like I said at the beginning, this was early on in Jesus' being known as a miracle worker. Like verse 15 said, the fame abroad of him doing great things. And that's why these people had come. And these Pharisees and doctors had come to find out what was this guy all about. But it says, and immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. When we were lost and came to church and seen the church move in the power of the Spirit, I know I'm speaking for myself. I sat back and said, that's amazing. What is this? You know, what's going on here? There's something here that I don't understand. And it was a little bit scary. And when God called me and let me know I was lost, it got a lot scary. But it was still amazing. I guess I was one of the lucky ones. The first time God called to me, I was sitting on the front bench over at Albert Street, and of course, you know, I argued and battled a little bit with it and said, I can't get up there. There's too many people in the way. The altar was full of people. They'd been quite a few went to the altar before me. And it was people standing all in the altar and singing and shouting and praying. And I sat there right on the front bench and said, I can't make it up there. There ain't room. I can't go. And God kept telling me to go. I said, well, if you help me, I'll go. And I started to get up, and my legs wouldn't work. I couldn't stand up physically. I remember sitting there thinking, I can't move. And I come to the realization that I couldn't even come to God without him helping me. I had to have his help to even get off the bench. And I said, God, if you'll make my legs work, I'll go. And I don't remember nothing except getting up off the altar feeling like a ton of lead was took off of me. But these guys, I'm sure that's how this fellow felt. He probably got up and grabbed his couch and went out of there jumping up and down. And his buddies probably come off the roof jumping up and down because they brought him there to see him get saved. And that's what happened. Anybody else got anything? I just keep rattling away.
About certainly needed his friends to help get him to Jesus. And it's just a picture of the church.
Yeah.
But whether it's praying or as you talk about lifting somebody's bed or whatever it is, we need to bring our people.
Right, right. Yeah, I, one thing that I was just a young fella. I was probably 16, 17 years old, maybe something like that. I got saved when I was 11 and didn't stick to it real good. And there come a time, like I said, I was probably 16 or 17, maybe 18, I don't remember. But I wasn't doing what I ought to have been doing. And what I looked at as a punishment at the time, I look back on now as a blessing, because it taught me something. At that age, Dale had never been saved yet. And I was running around with him and getting into the same worldly things he was getting into. And there was a time, I don't even remember if it was at church or somewhere else, I don't remember where it was, but Clifford come up and was talking to me, and he said, you know, he said, Dale ain't never been saved. I said, yeah, I know. And he said, well, you can either help him or hinder him. And that gave me a lot to think about. Now, that weighed on me like a ton of bricks. But looking back on it now, that helped me more than probably anything else in my life. Because now, ever since then, when I started getting a little far out there away from God, I started thinking, who am I hurting? Because before that, I always thought, just being a kid, I always thought, it's just me, it's just about me. If I don't go to church and don't do right, I'm not hurting anybody but me. And that's not true. If these guys, like Blaine said, if these fellas that this lame man was hanging out with didn't ever go to church, he wouldn't have never made it. Yeah, I thought about that kind of going up the stairs to get up to the roof. My old way of thinking about it before I did this research was they had to throw some ladders up there and climb the ladders, and then they probably pulled him up. And that's what I thought, you know. Either way you look at it, they had to work at it. And even if they just walked up the stairs like you would at your own house or something, the guys in the back probably had to lift that bed up over their head, put a little more effort into it than the guys up top. If you've ever carried anything up the stairs or down the stairs, you know whoever's at the bottom end of it's got all the weight. So sometimes we got to carry a little bit more than somebody else. If that's what God puts on us, that's what we need to do. Because he won't give us more than we can handle. And whatever my load may be, if I lay it down at God's feet, he'll help me with it. Just like Ryan said, that kind of started us off this morning. Sometimes I pick up too much, think I can handle this, I can do this. If I don't ask for God's help, pretty soon I'm going to fall down under that load. But if I give it to God, he'll help me carry all that I need to. Somebody else got something. right.
He just had to do what was given to him to do, and he had to obey that. No man done it. It was God that done it. So in no manner, no other manner has been done. Same thing with us when we come to the law. The law, it showed us that we're lost and undone. We didn't kind of understand it. It never done, been done like that before. As long as I don't obey mom and dad, I was all right.
Yeah. Yep. Anybody else got anything? I wrote down here that the church needs to do all we can to bring our people to Jesus, and that's every individual one of us. But just like these guys, like I said, these guys somehow God cleared the floor for them to lower this guy down there. If we bring our people and we do all that we can to bring our people to Jesus, he'll work on the other end too. There's no doubt in my mind, I'm a firm believer that if God gives me a burden to pray for somebody, he's working on their heart too. Otherwise, he wouldn't give me a burden for them. So we've got to bring our people, and then God will do the rest if we get them there. It's up to them to accept what God's got for them. That's about all I got, unless somebody else has got something. Right.
The day I got saved, I was ready to go to heaven. Down in my soul.
Mm-hmm.
If God didn't need me here for something, he could have just took me on.
Yep.
I believe the only reason we're here is to get our people saved. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, that's everybody.
Yep. Right.
And as wicked as this world is, God wants some people to get saved.
Amen.
Yeah.
And he left the church here to bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
He told them, he said, go out in the highways and the byways and compel them to come in.
Right.
And so we got a job to do, and we need to everyone be in the battle.
Right. Yep. And I look at it sometimes and I think, well, as bad as the world is out there, it's got to be coming to an end right quick. And then I think, well, there's probably been people thinking that ever since Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden. But the fact is, the gospel's still being preached. And God's still calling young men to be preachers. And as long as the gospel is being preached, there will be an opportunity for souls to be saved.
Right.
So as long as the gospel is being preached and I'm still here and capable of doing anything, I need to back it and I need to do my part to get my people in where they can hear it.
Amen.
Anything else?
What you said reminded me, when I first got saved, I was going to school while I was a senior. I was sitting in class one day and I looked out the window and said, I was thinking, I wonder if this day Jesus will come and get me.
Yeah.
And I've been thinking that ever since. And it goes right along with what you said.